The Power of Henkel.
I am glad to be here again with another episode of The Power of Henkel. I'm your host, Laura, and extend a very warm welcome to all our listeners and to Chris Mahiels with Henkel, who is an application engineer. He has graciously agreed to share his expertise with us today. So, Chris, welcome.
Yes, thank you. Happy to join.
Great. Today's topic we're going to tackle is electronics protection. It's definitely a very broad subject, but we'll try to give it some highlights here just to guide our listeners a little bit. There's a lot of considerations because everything really that contains electronics, anything, robots, our phones, obviously, cars, home maintenance systems, all of these things are central to our lives these days. And the world isn't backing off, clearly. Things are becoming even more digitized. So electronics content's only going to continue to grow, and developing, building, deploying all of these electronic systems, it comes at quite a significant cost. So when we're making all of these devices and systems, we want to make sure that they work reliably and as long as possible, which brings us to the protection equation.
Indeed, that's correct, Laura. And knowing what is the best approach to electronics protection and which materials might offer the greatest protection most cost-effectively, or what combination of materials, which is more often the case, can be challenging to assess, yeah.
Well, that's why we're glad you're here, Chris, as the resident expert in all things protection. Because even, it's true, as you said, electronics professionals and engineers aren't always sure exactly where to start when determining the right materials or combination of them. So we thought we'd use the podcast to explain the basics of the five general classes of electronics protection materials. So I'll let you outline those for us, Chris, and then we'll dive in.
Yeah, brilliant. So at Henkel, we classify protecting in, as you said, five general categories, which are liquid potting materials, low pressure moldings, conformal coatings, encapsulants, and as last, the underfills.
Okay. And since there are so many variables for each of these materials, I mean, it's pretty broad in how you select them. It depends on the application environment, operating temperatures that it must endure, things like vibration, required lifespan, etc. So in the interest of time, I think maybe we'll just offer the highlights of each of these, and you can give us some general guidance for when you might use each and two or three pros and cons of each one.
Of course, I can do that. Let's start with the two technologies that are typically used to encapsulate an entire assembly, so to encapsulate a full PCB. So the first is the liquid potting material. That's most often the choice for extreme environments, for automotive, aerospace, etc. And with electronics that are in an enclosure. So once the potting material is hardened and cured, so the material is really the ultimate protection for chemicals, liquids, shock and vibration, to just name a few of them. These materials have many protective advantages and really only a couple of drawbacks, in my opinion. So the potting process, for example, can be time consuming, and it requires also some expertise from the customer. And these materials are generally also not reworkable. Other than that, they are a solid choice for certain applications.
Yeah, indeed. I think potting material seems to be the tried and true solution for assembly encapsulation. But there are other scenarios where other materials might offer, you know, similar protection when the environments aren't quite as challenging. Things like low pressure molding materials, for example. Is that correct?
Definitely. While not usually the choice for extreme environments, as just mentioned with potting, low pressure molding is an excellent choice for many applications and for many reasons. It's a simple, easy, fast process, and it's quite sustainable with low waste and using bio-based raw materials in many cases. Low pressure molding, like potting, is also a very good protection. It gives also very good protection against moisture, chemicals, vibration. And as mentioned, the only drawback is that it is not ideal for high heat applications or extreme conditions. So that's more or less the only potential drawbacks.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of nuances between potting and low pressure molding. So maybe that's a topic for another podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll make a note of that. We'll maybe bring in you or another expert for that one sometime soon. But continuing through our list, if you're not encapsulating the PCB assembly, or I guess sometimes even if you are, protecting the board itself from certain conditions is also important, right?
That's true. Especially as assemblies become more dense with smaller dimensions and tight pitches, conformal coatings are very important. They're almost always used for high reliable applications, such as automotive or aerospace, and they're applied as a very thin coating layer. Typically, and the best technologies via spray coating, but it can also still be done with dip coating or even manual coating. These coatings protect against exposure to temperature extremes, moisture, chemicals, and voltage leakage. The only downside, because they are high volume compatible, is that precision application is key. So you don't want to coat something that doesn't require it, because that can cause some issues. For example, if some coating goes under some components where it can give some issues. So that's a bit the downside of these coatings, and can make it difficult to control the process.
Okay, and what about if you need to rework a component or something? Is that possible with conformal coatings?
That is not easy, but that is possible with conformal coating. That is a big difference with potting. There, it's not possible. We are working on some new technologies to make it possible, but it's always difficult to rework.
Okay. There's a lot to consider. So that's why we need specialists like you, Chris. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, it can certainly be a lot to consider. And that is another benefit of partnering with Henkel. We developed and manufacture all five types of protecting material solutions, not just one or not just two. So our goal is really to ensure the best option for the application, and not necessarily push customers toward a certain path or certain direction, because that's all what we happen to provide. So we have all material types, and we really want to know what is best for the customer and broad expertise. That's what we want to bring to the customer, or expertise, to find a solution for them.
Yeah, and that is really such a great point. And I would add to that, actually, is Henkel's knowledge about material compatibility, which often comes into play in these situations when deciding a protective material. I mean, an underfill, for example, which we're going to cover in just a second, might not be compatible with a certain type of potting chemistry or an overmold, right?
That's true. And yes, material compatibility when using multiple protective solutions, as well as the other materials on the assembly, the solder material, the adhesives, or others, that should be considered. And as you mentioned, underfills, let's discuss those, and encapsulants. Both underfills and glob top dermafill are encapsulating materials, but just for different applications.
Right, yes, the under-over scenario. So underfills generally are used to protect interconnects underneath a component, like a CSP or a BGA with array interconnects. And those are really to protect against mechanical stresses. And then globtops and encapsulants are dispensed typically on top of bare chips, which aren't necessarily in a molded package, to protect against corrosion and moisture.
Exactly. You might see globtops, dam and fill, most often used for wire bonded chips to protect the chip and the wires. Not always, but that is one of the main reasons why globtops are used. And they can also be used for flip chips too, particularly in high reliability situations. But as said, wire bond chips is an often used application for these technologies.
Okay. Well, we've worked through these five categories. I wish we had another 30 minutes because this topic can certainly take on a life of its own. And as we mentioned, there's a lot of nuances and application details to consider. But we're really glad that you gave us a big high-level overview of these, and then people can certainly get in touch with Henkel to find out more.
It certainly can, but hopefully this helps already to clarify some typical use cases for most protective materials. And of course, we have numerous other resources for those that want to learn more and in greater detail. So.
Yes, indeed we do. So as we close out this podcast, and as we do with every podcast, if you'd like to learn more, please visit www.henkel-adhesives.com. And then if you click on the products tab, you'll find most of these materials under the encapsulants header. So thank you, Chris, again for your invaluable knowledge and for taking the time to speak with us. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
You're welcome.
The power of Henkel.